Some time ago, this little skinny nerd-like jerk walked into my office when I was, you know, extremely busy and hassled and started mumbling incoherently, you know. And I kept, you know, I try to be really pleasant because I'm known for my tact. And I finally said, "What the hell do you want?" And he said, "Oh, I was going to write a copy." "Of what?" I said, "Oh." I said, "Are you trying to say you want to be a copywriter?" "Yeah." And well, yeah. I said, "You're looking for it?" He says, "I just want to hang around." So anyhow, we had a book that we needed a piece of copy written on, and I just threw it at him, and I said, "Hey, kid, just go write this and come back." It was the weekend. Well, he wrote it, and he came back, and it was one of the most brilliant pieces of copywriting I've ever seen. Evan now works with us full-time. At 20 years of age, he is one of the most brilliant copywriters I've ever seen. I think much of the stuff that he writes could pass for something written by John Carlton or myself, actually. He has a problem being from Nebraska. Some of you may have noticed that Key West isn't exactly Akron, Ohio, or Milwaukee, or something. I've seen a few of you doing the Duval crawl, and it's really not exactly the same. Evan's best friends were corn stalks and stuff like that before he got... Huh? Oh, okay. Paulette's always trying to nice me up. But I'm actually very proud to work with this young man. I think he's brilliant, and hanging around with me and Vince and all the rest of it, he is a sort of... forced to come out of his shell just to survive. Would you please give a big hand to Evan Williams.
Thank you very much, Gary. I was going to talk about copywriting today since that's what I do, but I figured I'm sitting here with the masters and legend like Gary and John Carlton, who I learned most of what I know from, so I didn't think exactly be... right, if I sat here and tried to tell you how to write copy with them. But so what I'd like to really talk about is my favorite thing in the world, which is new ideas and creativity, which I think is the basis of copywriting or marketing or whatever you do, is the most exciting thing. And on Friday, April 17th of this year, I got a most incredible idea that changed my life in a profound way. And it has a lot to do with why I'm here. It's what Gary was telling you about. At the time, I was in school. I was a sophomore at the University of Nebraska. And I was in terrible financial trouble for a 19-year-old. And I was in debt thousands of dollars all over the place. And I was trying desperately to make $1 million and not getting very far because I had... tons of great ideas, and they never got off the ground because I'd always get a better idea before I got going. But I was sitting there thinking. I subscribed to Gary's letter like last summer, and from the ads in his 8-page ads he ran in like 10 national magazines at the same time, and I saw this 8-page ad said, "Free videotapes reveal 11 new ways to make huge amounts of cash even during a recession." And I saw this and all these 8-page ads, and that, so I read them. I thought, this guy's either just crazy or he knows what he's doing. Since then, I've of course found out he's crazy, but at the time I didn't know. So I, not having $200 or even knowing where I was going to get my rent, of course did the logical thing and ordered with my American Express card. And after that, I started reading his stuff and studying all the stuff he recommended and J. Abraham's material and whatever else. And then I became a lifer, which I still didn't have the money, but I still had my American Express card. And I knew I was just on the verge of just having my big break because I had all these plans and I knew I'd be able to pay that off by the end of the month. So I went ahead and did that, thought that was a good idea. Luckily, my dad was generous enough to help me out there. And anyway, so I find myself, it's about the end of the year, and I'm not any closer to making any money than I was before. And I'd been working like 12 hours a day. I had no social life. I used to go out, and I just loved working on this stuff. And I was kind of upset because I saw all the work I'd been doing, and I said, well, I have absolutely nothing to show for it, and I know all this stuff, and I know how to do it. And I kept thinking I have nothing to show for it, and I was all upset about that. Then I had a very valuable insight that I actually did have something of value, and that was an incredible knowledge base of what to do. I knew the information. I looked at businesses all the time, and I saw how I could go in and double their profits, and of course, I didn't think that was... I thought that would be useful, but I didn't know how I was going to use that, since not a lot of business owners were going to listen to me coming in and telling them these crazy marketing ideas. So anyway, from that, I was sitting and thinking what I was going to do, and I got the idea, why don't I just go to Key West and work with Garrett? And it seemed sensible. So I thought about, actually, it seemed kind of crazy at first, but I just, for some reason, it felt right. And I thought, well, I can just go down. And I didn't know I could write copy at all. I had written a couple things, but I didn't know how good they are because, of course, I never tested them. And I had none to compare it to that I've seen that was bad. All I see was Gary's stuff. So I just thought I'd come down, and I knew the information. I could just hang around and be a gopher or whatever and try to, offer some ideas now and then. And so I came down, and he told you what happened when I came down. But when he gave me the book to write, I had no idea I could write copy. But I thought, well, it's not that difficult, is it? And I'd written a couple things. I went that night. And at the time, it was Friday. He said, come back tomorrow. So I go, and I thought, well, that's not very much time. And so I get a hotel room, and I check in, I read the book, and I stay up all night writing this. I'm just thinking, oh, it's pretty good. And I ride back in the morning about 9 o'clock, and, of course, the office is locked. And so I have to spend 3 days in this godforsaken island in the 105-degree weather and 98-degree humidity. And anyway, sleep in my van and everything else. I won't go into the gory details. But anyway, it turned out very well, and it's been getting more exciting all the time. And just a sec. Ann, come here. You can get something to help me, maybe? Okay. Forgot about that. Okay. So anyway, I realized it was the great idea, and I've been writing copy here, and the other day, I had written this piece of copy, and it took me like days, and I was all writing, and I took it to Gary, and he said, this won't work. I said, okay. And he said, it's a good piece of copy, but the concept was off. You know, this is what sells him, and he changed the concept. And he told me the concept, or the copy isn't what sells. It's the concept that sells. And so that's really the basic key, I think, in all of our marketing is the ideas and the concepts that create the wealth. If we get a new idea to make a sales letter better or to make a product or to make a business or anything, it's basically a technology that creates the wealth. And if your technology is anything that lets you do something better. If you're driving to work and take a half hour every day, you figure out a way it takes you 20 minutes, that's technology. And that increases value, it saves you time, takes less energy and everything else. And so basically, and to find those technologies, though, we all have to break out of how we think every time. Every time there's a great idea, it's because someone has thought in a different way than you usually think. And there's new invention, everything all the time that people didn't think were possible before. But it's because they thought differently. And we get an idea and we say, oh, that's obvious. And so I'm going to give you a test as soon as we get these passed out to make you think a little bit, hopefully. And okay. Example. Okay, when we all live in our little worlds, and like Joaquin was saying the other day, we're aware of a very small fraction of the world around us. Like right now, you're not aware of the chair on you and everything else, but we are constantly filtering out data that's not useful to us, because if we couldn't, we couldn't function. But we perceive this small fraction, microscopic little fraction in the world, and we think that that's reality. Our filters are, we filter things out according to our assumptions and beliefs that we have, and every time, if we can break out of those, they really limit us. If we can't break out of them, then we'll keep thinking the things we've always thought, and we won't come across anything that's new or exciting. And okay, so now if you see the diagrams in front of you, look at diagram number one. What I'd like you to do, you may have seen this before, but what I'd like you to do is link all 9 dots with no more than 3 straight lines without picking up your pen. I'll give you 30 seconds. You didn't get them? You ran out? Thank you, I ran out. Do you have an extra one there? Okay, how many people figured that out? Okay, a few.
You have to repeat what you wanted.
Oh, I'm sorry. Link all 9 dots with no more than 3 straight lines without picking up your pencil. Three straight lines. Trust me, it's 3 straight lines. I'm giving the test. I know the questions. Okay. Now, how many people got it? Like 5, 6 people? Okay. Now, think of this as representing a problem or an opportunity. I basically think of them the same thing. In your business or marketing, and if you can solve it, then it'll be very valuable to you. If you can't, you'll have to go about something a hard way or something else. But you look at this and you think, well, can it be solved? And a lot of times we don't see the answer and we assume it can't be solved. So let me show you the answer. There you go. Okay. Aha. Okay. When you see an answer like that, it's like anything else. You see it and it's obvious. And the reason you don't see it, though, is most people make 2 assumptions when they get that problem. Assume that the lines, you can't go outside the dots, and that all the lines have to go through the center of the dots. But those rules were never mentioned, but we automatically assume those rules, and they limited us from finding the solution, the opportunity. Now look at the second diagram. What I'd like you to do here is make a square twice as big by only moving 2 of the dots out of the corners. Each corner has a dot. Move 2 of the dots and make the square twice as big. It has to be a square. Okay, that's enough time. How many people got that one? Okay, about 5 or 6 people. Move this dot down here. This dot over here. It's twice as big. Can you see that back there? Okay, this is the same thing. We get asked that question. The reason is in the word square. We think square, and we automatically assume that's going to be the bigger square is going to be parallel with the smaller one. And as long as we're assuming that, the answer can be found. And we do this all the time. Like I said, is that a problem in your marketing or an opportunity that you just don't see? You see it, and it's obvious. Because we're assuming things that limit us beyond belief. And there's new inventions all the time. We think that we're impossible, and we see them and go, aha. Okay. And they just blind us to opportunities all the time because of our limited view of the world. Example, several years ago, a group of scientists went to visit a tribe in New Guinea, and who they thought that their world ended at the edge of a nearby river. And after several months, one of the scientists had to leave, which involved crossing the river. And so he goes across, he rows boat across, and he gets there safely and all everything. He turns around and he waves. And the tribesmen are standing there. It wasn't a very wide river. They could have seen him easily. They didn't respond because they literally could not see him. They're so entrenched in their beliefs that it altered and distorted their perception of reality. And with our microscopic view of the world, if we would force the tribesmen to get across the river, then they'd see it, and they'd see all the vast land and everything and all the kinds of new opportunities be open for them. And they'd never be limited by their view again. So what we need to do in order to find new ideas, basically we're here and we're listening to all these new ideas and everything that are great, and you have those aha experiences, and you see things that may not, we pass things over all the time. We assume that great ideas come once in a while. Actually, they come every day. And the key is realizing them and the opportunities. There's no limit of opportunities, even within your own little world. Not that your world is little. Okay. Kind of like what Joe Sabo was saying the other day. If we do what we've always done, we'll get what we've always got. Like that, if we think as we've always thought, then we'll do what we've always done. So as soon as we break out of that is when we realize the real opportunities and the ideas, and we can do that all the time. And the rules are changing all the time also. We assume these rules, and even the assumptions that were right before are no longer valid. We're totally blind to that. Now here's some ways. Okay, to break out of your limited perception of the world, there's some ways to do that. First thing is to question all your assumptions you have. And like the assumption that on those dots that you couldn't go outside the lines and you had to go through the center. And we have assumptions all the time in our business and our marketing and our products, what has to be done, that aren't valid. And you need to question those. Don't assume anything, just for a little bit. See what you believe is has to be done and the rules and how it's always done, and question everything. I mean, even if it's the wackiest thing in the world, just question it. Second way to get out of that is to open your mind to the belief that anything is possible. Not, it doesn't mean you have to lose all touch with reality and everything, but if you just let the possibility that anything is possible into your mind, then you'll open yourself up to a lot of opportunities. Because like even 20, 30 years ago, even the basic things we take for granted, microwave, remote control, and for sure the computers that are possible today, and just a myriad of things, we would have said, oh, that's impossible back then. The possibility and the capability has been there since the age of the dinosaurs. And it's the realizing that brings the opportunities and the great wealth, and there's those kinds of things all the time in your business. There's things right now that are gonna be, that are possible, that are gonna be done in the future, and that you assume there's, that's impossible right now. So think of the things in your situation that'd be the best possible alternative, best possible scenario, and see why you think that's impossible, and open yourself up to that, that that's not impossible, or even things that you want to do, not necessarily in your business. Another thing that limits us is the labels and definitions we put on things. Like, if we all have labels how we describe ourselves, we have labels like you're in the vinyl record business, or for instance. In 1985 is a $24 million business. In 1990, all the vinyl record makers are broke because they saw themselves, and they didn't think that was going to happen, but they saw themselves in the vinyl record business and they went broke. They saw themselves in the music business, or the music packaging business, got into CDs, they'd be twice as good as they are today because there's twice as many dollars in CDs sold. But if you're a book publisher or something now, then if you stay with that belief, you'll probably be in trouble, or you limit yourself. If you don't, if you define that as an information business, then you can get into videos and to all the things that are going to be coming soon, multimedia, PC, and everything else to distribute information. And we have limits on ourselves, like, well, I'm a farmer. There's a farmer here who, if he just saw himself as a farmer, who's my dad, by the way, that he'd say, well, why would he be going to a marketing seminar? And he may pick up some things and start doing other things. And if, like, I never saw myself as a copywriter, certainly not a writer at all, but, and if you don't think you can write copy just because you're not a copywriter, you say, well, I have to hire a copywriter. But don't limit yourself by that, because you just never know. And or if you're thinking, well, how can I improve my sales letter? And where you go in here and you do direct mail. You know, how can I improve my direct mail package? And define that as, how can I improve my selling message? And you might see some things that you would never seen before because you're just blind to them. Now, next thing that can take you out of your entrenched little mindset is a whack on the side of the head. Like in the book by Roger Von Oeck, where he says, you give yourself a whack on the side of the head, break out of your prison of familiarity, and just get out of your normal pattern. We all get into these ruts and where we do the same things and our minds just automatically get in patterns. And just break out of things. Just do something you've never done. Or regularly do something. I try to do this a lot, and I get all kinds of insights. Like, do crazy things. Write a love poem in the middle of the night. Wear red socks. Or visit a junkyard. Take the slow way home. Go talk to someone you've never talked to. Read something you've never read. And these can provide incredible insights. And when you read them, don't say, well, this is... I don't see how this applies to me. Make something apply to you, even if it's the strangest thing in the world. If you read a book on pig farming, if you're in the space age computer prototype metal business and find a new way to train your employees or something. Another thing you can do to break out of your pattern is to try stupid things. Just you get an idea and you say, well, that's really stupid, so you try it and see what happens. Gary talks about this. One of the biggest mistakes people make in marketing is once they get a winner is not trying enough stupid things. And just try something like not putting an 800 number in, or just little things like that are totally wacky messages. And these can, not that they'll necessarily work, but you'll learn something from no matter what. And next one I have, of course, is use other people's minds. And like the puzzles here, if you saw at least someone solved both of them. There's like a few people in the room, and everybody has the different little microscopic view of the world, and they've had different experiences and everything else. A lot of times the best ideas come from outsiders from an industry because they don't know what can't be done. And if, of course, we're in a great situation to do that now, we're going to be doing hot seats, I think, later today, where people get up here and all the experts and the whole room brainstorms on their problem. But, of course, look how those things can apply to yourself, but also, I'm sure most of you are doing this, just talk to people everywhere and sit down with them and ask them what they're doing, talk what you're doing. If they're in totally different industry, see what they think, and then open yourself to those possibilities. And if it's the stupidest idea in the world, say, so why not? And there's an example of this in General Electric. A trick they always played on the engineers as they came in was a new engineer had come in and they give them this problem. They said, well, see this light bulb and see how the bright spot in there? When you could pretty much see the filament even though they had a coating on it. They said, go make this light bulb so make it coating so it's even all the way around. And of course they knew this couldn't be done, and it was this practical joke, and he'd come back and couldn't be able to do it, and everyone laughed and they'd tell him it's impossible. And then of course someone came along and they did it, and he'd bring it back and, is this what you wanted? And Chief, yeah, that's it. But that type of thing, some of the biggest breakthroughs ever come from outsiders and people who don't know anything about it because they're not stuck in the same paradigms and know the rules, and like the rules don't go outside the dots. So why not go outside the dots? And one of the biggest things I do to get at new ideas is, of course, read different things. And sort of this room is full of intelligent people who read all the time. Some of the books I'd recommend highly, I just read forgetting all kinds of things today. I'm preparing for a week and I forgot everything. Future Edge. How many people have read Future Edge by Joel Arthur Barker? That is an incredible book. I read it in one sitting last week. It's all about paradigms, the new paradigms for success or something like that. And it'll change the way you're thinking about the future and ideas and everything. And I highly recommend it. You can get it in most bookstores with the Barker? Joel Barker. Yeah. Future Edge. It's in hardback now. It's about $25, I think. It's not very big. Well, it's about 200 pages. But okay, another one. Of course, The Popcorn Report, if you haven't read that, you have to read that. I'm sure most of you have. And New Paradigm Digest, as Gary recommended, is a great source of new ideas and get you out of your traditional thinking patterns, both about the future and everything else. And the publisher, Jeff Hunter, is actually here. Talk to him. He has some very good ideas. I think Jeff's right there. Stand up, Jeff. Okay. Very great publication. New Paradigm Digest, it's a quarterly, but I was talking to him, he hasn't had, I think you said the next one was just finished, there's three total. Call his office, what's your number? 310-393-2670. Huntner, I'm sorry, okay. And another thing I highly recommend, how many of you have heard of or read Unlimited Wealth by Paul Zane Pilser? Okay, a few people. This is a book I think a lot of people have a very limited beliefs in. That Paul Zane Pilser is an economist, but economics bore me, basically. But this book is fascinating. A lot of people have very limited beliefs and don't even know they do about money in general. Just a sec. And this book I was reading, and it is totally fascinating. It talks about how there's really no such thing as scarcity, and it makes more sense than anything I've ever read about economics. And he talks about how most economists, they base everything on a zero-sum theory, and how really we're increasing our resources all the time, not decreasing them. And it'll give you lots of ideas or really open your mind up to the abundance of the world. And it's called Unlimited Wealth. And it's by Paul Zane Pilzer, P-I-L-Z-E-R. And also, it's on, if you heard Dan Kennedy talking about Anthony Robbins, he has the Power Talk tapes where he interviews someone each month. And that's on one of these, which you can get in the bookstore. He interviews the author. And that's where I first heard it, and they talked about it. At least before it'll give you an overview of it. If you want to do that instead, you can get that in the bookstore by the tapes. Okay. And the other thing is Taipan is this newsletter. It's published by Agora Publishers. Publish a lot of things, I guess, but it's all about, it's kind of an investment newsletter, but it talks about the future and new ideas and trends and everything else that is supposedly extremely accurate. I just started getting it, and it has all kinds of ideas and technologies that are really exciting if you want to really interested in the future and new ideas that are coming. It's Taipan, T-A-I-P-A-N, and the number is 800-223-1982. Another thing try to do once a while is read stuff that you wouldn't normally read. Go to the magazine rack and pick out magazines that and they can be interesting to you, but nothing or something that you would never buy normally. And look through it, and I think Faith Popcorn recommends this. But just buy stuff you don't normally read and look at it and think, just get fascinated by it, and don't set any limits and say, well, I don't see how this is any good. Okay, and I made a list of exciting things that I think, where'd Rick go? Okay, good, that's what I was going to tell him to do. Exciting things, these are new ideas and technologies and paradigms and all kinds of things that might not necessarily apply to you, but give you practice on opening your mind up like this. Just a few of the things I've seen. Number one is noise cancellation technology. I don't know how many of you heard of this, but I think this is exciting as all hell. What basically it's sound waves. Its concept is sound is just waves of air, and what they can do is computer generate to opposite sound waves to cancel out the noise. And you use it on. Right now you can. It's actually possible. And get one about the size of your trunk, pretty soon it'll be down to computer chip size. And this is going to be a major deal. It's going to be used for airplanes and cars and everything else. You can zap or eliminate the noise from your neighbors' parties or whatever else. And motorcycles, factories, everything silent without just from waves canceling out. The only thing I'm worried about, I think more people are going to get run over a lot. But. This was in a, I saw this in a couple places. That was in Taipan, for one thing. Another thing I was just reading about is Xanadu, which is a software program that is invented by a guy named Ted Nelson in California. He's been working on it for like 35 years, and now it's a it was way before its time, but what it basically is a software program to link, give you easy access to all the online information in the world. And so of course there's online information everywhere, but besides that, all these, the servers can also link together. So not only linked to all the online information in the world, but linked to everything else, and everything linked, linked, linked. And so if you're reading a report about automobile industry, then it'll be linked to a database about that, update it constantly, and it'll revolutionize the way information is stored. Now it has to be stored in one place, and you copy a disk or whatever, take it. That won't matter anymore where it's stored. You have access to everything easily. And then there's going to be, it'll have to be a master system that's going to keep track of where all data is stored and give credit. If someone uses the data, it gives credit to them. Actual money they get, and if you use something, then it takes out of your account. And then if you cite something from another author in that, then it, credit goes back to them when that is bought. You publish a book on Xanadu, then there's no printing costs or inventory, and you get paid royalties when someone reads it. And with the coming of fiber optics and multimedia PCs, it's not just text. It's like videos and audios and everything else be information. I mean, we're in the information age now. That's going to totally be a smothering of total information everywhere and instantly to everything. And the publishing industry is going to have a large impact, and there's all kinds of opportunities there. And the servers, the software part is going to be out. I think it may be coming out right now. Of course, in a few years, it's going to be really big, I think. Another place I see a lot of opportunities is one of the trends in Faith Popcorn's book. It's egonomics, where everything's getting smaller and smaller niches, and if you can personalize your things. If you read that a bicycle maker, they're making bikes in Japan, they take measurements on the person, they handcraft the bikes, right? Or not handcraft them, but each product is made only for one person, the person who's buying it. And there's over 11 million options to this bike made personally to that person in like 3 hours. And there's incredible opportunities here. I think if you sell information, if you can use like questionnaires or whatever to personalize information to them and make it more useful in a report or something. I don't know how you, there's a lot of ideas I can think to use that would be very useful. Another thing I was reading about is in Taipan. It's called the Being There Wall. This just blows my mind, but it's called the Being There Wall. What it is when activated, it's like this wall that makes you feel, no matter where you are, makes you feel like you're someplace else. It's like a mirror, like a whole wall covered by a mirror, but you can't tell where the mirror begins and the wall ends. And so it's exactly like you're in your office, something, you're at home, you turn it on, you're in the office, and then you can see the people there, and it's interactive. So it's totally have a big impact on business travel, I think, but more than that, and entertainment and everything, exactly like you're being there. I'm not sure how that works, but that's just nuts. Okay. Another idea I heard the other day is loans to poor people, like in the third world and places. Loans, of course, help build economy if they're invest in business and whatever, but in most parts of the world, or a large part, women don't even qualify for loans, and of course poor people can't get loans very well. There's this concept I heard that was very simple, where they get five people together and they get a loan, and the whole group guarantees the loan. So if one person no good, the other people guarantee it, and the peer pressure improves. They have a payback rate of like 99%, where it used to be they couldn't get loans at all. One example, this lady in Honduras used that to take her, she's a shoemaker, she built her business up from 10,000 to 86,000 a year, and I thought that was a hell of an idea. Another idea I came across the other day, what's that? Who has that? I don't know. It's just. Grameen Bank. Okay.
Or is that just a concept?
That's just a, I just thought it was a neat concept.
It's already in place.
Sorry.
The husband and wife team, I don't know where they're located. They come through Denver and Boulder occasionally, and they loan out $50 increments to get people started, and it's really in place right now.
I see. Okay, thanks, Joe. He said it was in place right now. There's a couple in Denver who are doing it. And there's an idea I came across just the other night. I knew it was possible before, but saw a great application of it. It's called where we have these lead generators. You heard Gary talk about lead generating ads. One of the main things we're doing for most of the clients now is the safest thing. You place a small lead generator, give them a call for free information. You send that in a sales letter. And I thought, what if they could call? When they call right away is when they're hot. They call up and they get the, a lot of times you give them recording, they leave their name and address or whatever. They call up and instead of you mailing the stuff to them and gets there in a couple of days, they punch in, they get the recording, they punch in an extension and a fax number, and the information is instantly faxed to them. Because on computer, it's at like the computer fax boards, and it's instantly faxed to them without the wait. And you can have different extensions for different ads or different information.
Do you know how many, what percentage of people who are purchasing?
This wouldn't, of course, apply to everybody, but if you're selling something to like businesses, you're advertising in Wall Street Journal or any business magazines, you're going to have, you could have the options there. They could call or do that. But I don't know how they work, but it seems to me that that would increase your turnover for your leads lot if you had that type of where that was applicable. And you
somebody
can
could offer that as a service too.
Yeah. They
I had somebody trying to sell me that the other day, but it sounded terribly expensive for what you got.
I don't know how much it, but if you can just get a fax board, it doesn't seem like a complicated problem that would.
It's not complicated, but it does sound expensive for what you get.
Okay. Another idea I got, this is the last thing I have. I wanted to bounce off you. Craig Hain, who you saw up here, is one of our clients, and he had this idea that I saw him, he wrote us about, a couple ideas actually. Have a players-only weekend where we get our, offer it to our subscribers or whatever. We have a weekend in some city like Chicago or some easily accessible city, or we could have them in different parts of the country, where just a quick weekend where people could come and exchange information and get ideas and everything and maybe some copywriters there, just networking a lot like we are here, but not necessarily speakers, just people come up like hot seats, we do individual hot seats and have everybody brainstorm just the other people's mind concept. Would anybody find that interesting? Okay, sounds good. Maybe we'll work on that. I'd like to talk to Gary about that. And the other thing he had was a idea to make an online service, like with our office, and a link for like everybody to go on and have all kinds of options on there, like brainstorm on there, offer ideas, sources, ask questions on there.
Telephone conferencing
also, but yeah, an online service, like a bulletin board, you put up your questions there, ideas and everything else. I think a lot of just other people's minds and getting together and networking like that. How many people would be interested in that? Okay. Yeah, I mean, we could give all, and outside of Gary's subscribers and everything else, like people, I don't know who all would go to, but I think that would be something very valuable. Okay. Now, I'm going to leave you with one final story. There's this guy who is, he's kind of a rich guy, he had this cabin up in the mountains, high, and he had this Porsche to drive there. And he, the road up to the mountains, though, was really dangerous. It had lots of blind curves and hairpin turns and no railing and narrow roads. But he wasn't very, that didn't bother him, really, because he had a nice car to get there, and he's an excellent driver. So one day he was driving along, he's coming up upon his favorite blind curve, and around the corner comes this careening car totally out of control, and it swerves into his lane, and it swerves back out, and it swerves back in, and
about goes off the edge and swerves into his lane, and oh my God, I'm gonna get hit. He slams on his brakes and finally at the last minute turns back into its lane, and this lady yells out the window, "Pig!" And he's like, "What the hell? I was in my lane. She was all over the place. What's she calling me names for?" He just couldn't believe it. So, not to let her get away without being with a retort, he yells, "Sow!" And feeling rather good that he got away with that, she didn't get away, he puts his foot to the floor, tears around the curve, and of course hits the pig. Now, his rules, he was in his own limited view of the world. He saw she was actually being heroic and warning him of the pig, and he thought she was being nasty, and of course obeyed the rules and called her a name back. And if he would have opened his mind, maybe he would have not questioned the rules. Maybe he would have went around and at least avoided the pig. Maybe he could have stopped, put the pig in his trunk, and carried it away. But the moral is there's going to be lots of people coming around blind curves yelling things at you, especially more and more in the future. And if you can open your mind and question, look at things differently, you'll see opportunities. If you can't, you'll only see threats. Thank you.